Okay, so we are in the middle of the series of psukim. We've gone through the mitzudos. We've gone through Rashi. Okay, and we started to do the radak. We just started a little bit on the radak to go through the psukim perik zayin, pasik yud to the end of the perik. To the end of the perik. Is everyone to? No, not the end of the perik. But yud going all the way to the end of the parak. Yeah, to the end of the parak. So we went yesterday. We did the mitzudos. We did the Rashi. We spoke out a number of things, and now we started on Erev Shabbos the Radak, and we got up to pasuk Yud Aleph. That's where we got up to. We did pasuk Yud. That's all we did in one pasuk. Now Yud Aleph. So let's just read the pasuk on page 348. On 340, the pasuk says, "Ki choy omar omois." So says omois. He's coming to scare the king. Bacherev yomus yiravam v'Yisrael golo yigle me'al admosa. Omois said that the king is going to be assassinated, and the people are going to go into golos, and he was therefore trying to use this this report to get permission from the king Yeravam to execute Omos. Okay, pasuk Yud Aleph in the Radak on page 349. Ki choy yomus Yeravam, v'hu lo yomar sheyeravam yomus b'cherev, v'lo ro'inu zesh sheyeravam meis b'cherev. Ela beis Yeravam. There's a lot of repetition between the Mefarshim. We spent time on this in the Rashi and in the Mitzvot David, that this was an outright lie. He never ever said that Yeravam would be assassinated. All he said was that there's going to be death. Death would come, that there will be destruction to the base Yeravam. Who is the base Yeravam? It means his descendants. Does not mean the king himself. Ella Omar Ella, second line in Pasuk Yud Aleph on page 349 in the Radak. Ella Shamatz Yashino Hadavar Lira'a Kedei Sheyimisehu Yeravam. He lied. Why did he lie? In order that he should get permission from the king to kill, to execute Amos. V'sholach lo ki al Yeravam atzmai Amos sheyomus b'cheref. He lied. He said that Amos himself, he will be the one who will die by sword. Hagdil kits by Yeravam in order to get him angry. The Yeravam lo kibul l'shoynei harav v'lo heira l'omos al zeh k'moy shekosavnu b'tchilas ha-sefer ha-sheya. Okay, so I don't remember that. I have to really go look that up. But he says over here that we see from the context of what happened in this story itself here that he did not accept Lashon Hara. There's a credit. There is obviously some good thing about Yeravam, this Yeravam, that he did not accept the Lashon Hara, the Motzi Shemra of Amatzia. He sensed that he was lying, and he did not give him permission to kill, to execute Amos. I guess he knew his customers. Every rabbi has to know his customers. Okay, the king over here was Yeravam. He knew who he was dealing with. He knew Amatzia. Amatzia, you know, when someone does something once, you don't do something once. There's usually a consistent pattern of behavior. And if someone comes and says something to you, you have to know, you know from the past, this guy, when he says that Omois is going to assassinate me, I know from the past he's not so serious. He probably meant something else. So he did not, to his credit, he did not accept these words of slander, and he did not give permission to Amatzia to kill Omois. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayoyimer Amatzia. Okay, let's read the whole pasuk. Vayoyimer Amatzia el Omois. Choyzeh leich berach lecha el eretz Yehuda v'och ve'echol sham lechem v'sham tinovei. He made litzanis of him. He said, get out of here. Get out of this country. And I don't have permission to kill you, but I'm telling you to get out of here. And he made litzanis. Why do you give over prophecy? Because you miss your parnasa. You get up in front of the shul. You put out your hat. You say some words of prophecy. You impress the people. And they drop some quarters into your hat. You want to make a good parnasa? Go to Yehuda. In Yehuda, they hate us here. When you'll go and you'll predict gloom and doom for their enemies, they'll be very, very happy to put quarters in your hat. But here, people are not very happy to hear these harsh words. Pasuk Yud Beis in the Radak on page 351. Vayim Amatzia Kevan Shara Shlo Kibul Yeravam Devar V'Lohamis Amos. Since Amatzia saw that Yeravam did not give him permission to kill Amos, He didn't give him permission, couldn't kill him, but at least he told him, I'm revoking your license to stay in this country. Leave and go there to Yehuda. She Eretz Aseres. Don't speak anymore in here in this country, which is the land of the Aseres Ashvatim. Kol Shekein Bebeis Malchuso Shu Beisel. Certainly you have no permission to speak words of prophecy in this city of Beisel, where we worship the idol, the Egel Hazav. The Afal Pisha Shoimra, and he's asking the question we discussed when we learned this, that it's not the capital. The capital of the Aseres HaShvatim is not Beisel, it was Shoimroin. We know from Yehu, the previous king, that it was the Malchus was in Shoimroin. So what then does it mean here that don't give over words of prophecy in Beisel, which is the Malchus of the Aseres HaShvatim? Efshar, so the Radak is suggesting, since the people they cleaved to the sins of Yeravam ben Nevat. Don't confuse this Yeravam. The Ravam that we are discussing now is a different Yeravam. Yeravam ben Nevat was the first king of the Aseres HaShvatim, and this is towards the very end. He was a different Yeravam. But the Yeravam ben Nevat was one who established the idols in Beisel and Dan, and the people worshipped them with a Lashma. And therefore, the kings always found themselves here for events, worshipping the idols. That's why he was still called the Beis HaMalchus. Shehem Avodas HaGolem Beis HaLuvadon, Asu Malchi Yisrael Armoin Melech Beisel. Therefore, all of the kings of the Malchus of Yisrael built palaces to come and stay for long periods of time in Beisel when they worshipped the idol. They would come here frequently. He's asking the question, if there are two different idols, one in Beisel and one in Dan, why are they always coming to Beisel? A good mazel. Beisel was for some reason more popular than going to Dan. It was closer. Kidon it was the edge of the land. This Yeravim here, his Ikra Avoid was in Beisel. First of all, the history, and it says there very clearly that Yeravim would go to Beisel. Okay. Now he's saying over here a lot of big chidushim. First of all, he's telling us over here that this Beis El is the same Beis El as the Beis El of Yaakov Avinu. Now, I think most of us understood that the Beis El of Yaakov Avinu was Yerushalayim. What happened? What was this? Maybe we should read the pasuk. Vayetze Yaakov beber shava, vayele charona, vayifka b'mochem. What was the mochem? But he writes over here, Luz. And what is Luz? What does Chazal say? Luz is Yerushalayim. So it seems here there's Machlokes Yerushalayim. What exactly? Some really, really very fundamental things, very basic things. Let's go back to Harav Yetzay. Vayetze Yaakov de Be'er Shava Yelech Harona. Yaakov, he left Be'er Shava. And he goes to Vayifka Bamokoi. Now, what's the makom that he was Vayifka? That was the place that the Masorah is, the Beis HaMikdash, the Har HaMoriah, the place where Yitzchak. Oh, that's the whole point we want to make over here. So let's see over here what it's. I'm reading over here the Rashi. Rashi over here says Vayifka Bamokoi. Lo Hiskir Hakosa Beis the Mokoim. El Bamokoim Hanisko Bamokoim Acher Hu Har HaMoriah. Rashi says this is Har HaMoriah. Shenemar boy vayares hamokoy merechoyk. So it does not say which mokoy. Rashi teaches us this was Har HaMoriah, the place where Yitzchak, his father, was offered as a korban at the Akedah. The place of Avram and Yitzchak, this was the mokom of the Akedah, which is the Har HaMoriah, the mokom Yerushalayim, the place of the Beis HaMikdash. He has a dream, okay, and then he wakes up the next morning, Vayikatz Yaakov, Again, according to Rashi, what's the makom? The makom is the Beis Hamikdash. Vayashkev Yaakov Aboiker, he takes the stone, he takes the oil, and here is the key words. Vayikra Eshem Hamokoim Hahu Beis El. He's calling Har Hamoiria Beis El. V'ulam, what is the truth, however? Luz Shem Hoyir Lorishoina. Rashi on this Pasuk Yutes. Okay, there is no Rashi. How do you like that? There is no Rashi here. What does the Targum say? Ukro yos shmo de asra hahu beis el. Uvram lush shmo de karta bikad mesa. It was originally called Luz, okay? And back in the other, what does the Targum say back in the beginning? Vayivka b'makoyim. It just says, ushechiv ba'asra hahu. Unkelus is silent. Does not tell us this makoyim. Okay, so we have over here. Oh, okay, very good. Now here's the problem. The problem here is okay. So you want let's just see. We're going to come back to your point in one moment. Over here, the Radak says going back over here again on page 351. Okay, before the big first paragraph, before the first paragraph concludes. It says, let's go a little bit further. Yeravam, he worshipped the idol in Beis El. This mokim was selected, this is the Radak's Chiddush. Mizman Yaakov Avinu. This was so. Now, before we do any further, if Beis El is Yerushalayim, we got a big problem.
Yes, right.
Because Yerushalayim is the Malchus of Yehuda, right. And the Malchus of the Aseres Hashvatim is not anywhere in Yehuda.
Right.
They're up north. Okay, they're in other places. They're not there. So over here, he's right away coming to disagree with Rashi. And the Radak can do that. Radak was a Rishain, and the Radak had a different understanding. And it's shocking, because that's telling us that when this whole story that we read in Parashas Vayetzeh, where he saw with the ladder and the dream, and he saw the Malachi Elokim Oilim V'yardim Bo, did not take place over the Beis HaMikdash.
Well, this is where Rabbi Alfred in his Sefer draws, he deals with this, and he says a ladder is not straight up. A ladder is
an slanted. Angle.
So if you drop the plumb line from the top, it would be the Beis HaMikdash. But the ladder going up to heaven, is since it's slanted, from where he was, it was the border. Why was Vayif Gabba Makom Mikdash holding the Ardebo? Because it was the border of Eretz Yisrael and
Chutz L'Aretz. Chutz
L'Aretz, right. So it can't be Yerushalayim. So, but from where he was, if you drew a ladder on the angle, the top of the ladder would be directly over what was Yerushalayim.
Uh-huh, but the bottom of the ladder was not.
And the bottom of the ladder was not.
So this is something.
That's the way he explains
it. This is something that is very, very, very basic. It's very elementary. Rashi has a whole long parish. Yaakov Avinu has a calculation. Yaakov went further. He passed over Yerushalayim. Then he had Charata. He went backwards. Kvitz Aderech. The Radak doesn't go with all this. He doesn't learn all these. He just says that Beis El obviously is a place that is not Yerushalayim. That's where the dream was. And because Yaakov Avinu had the dream in this location, he took the rock and the 12 rocks turned into one, and he poured the oil and he made a neder. And the neder was, Hashem, if you will be with me, then if you invest kedusha in a mokoyim, that mokoyim somehow, some way, it's valuable. It, you're able to accomplish in ruchnias. Yerushalayim. Beis El is not Yerushalayim. What did Yaakov Avinu say? He said that this Mokom shall be a Beis Elokim. Okay, so this is a shocking thing we're learning over here. How there's a place called Beisel, and there's a place called Yerushalayim, a place called Har HaMoriah, a place called Luz. What are all these places? Rashi learns they're all the same. Luz, Beisel, Har HaMoriah, Yeru, Sholem, all of these places, they have so many names, they're all the same exact Makom. Everything is all the same. And you see from the Radak, he doesn't go for this. Radak says, no, there's a place called Beisel, it's nothing to do with Yerushalayim. Yaakov Avinu said, this place will be a Beis Elokim. According to the Radak, how was that ever fulfilled? Where do we ever find Beisel serving as the Beis Elokim? What does that mean exactly? We are in history. Okay, now who mentioned, someone here mentioned about Lot? Who mentioned about Lot? Okay, you mentioned about Lot. So let's go back and let's go see. At the end of Parshas Vayetze. No, that was Lech Lecha. Bein Beisel, Bein Ha'ai. That was. I have to come and look at that exactly. We were at that place.
When he's leaving Esav, by Ma'aseh Shechem. After Shechem and by Yishlach.
Okay, so let's go to Vayishlach.
After he leaves Esav, after Ma'aseh Dina.
Okay, here we go. Vayisu. Okay, here it is. Vayavo Yaakov Luza. Okay, V'ulam Luz Shem U'ir B'Rishna. Right, so he's leaving over here. Let's go back one line. Okay. Let's even here's the real good pasuk, right? So here we have Hakizoyin Yasas Achaisein, right? So we had the whole mice with Dina. Dina goes out to look at the young men, and she ends up in a lot of trouble. And we have the mice of Shechem. Fine. Then the next perek begins. Vayomer Elokim El Yaakov, Kum. It's time for you to travel. Alei Veis El, ascend. To Veisel, ascend to. It's almost as if you have to add a lamet. Leveisel, alei ascend to Beisel. Veshev sham, vaase sham mizbeach. Lokel hanire elecha. Bivorichacha mipnei esavachicha. Don't you remember Yaakov? He made a promise. He made a neder. In fact, some of the commentators tell us the reason why the whole mice of Dina had happened was because Yaakov did not fulfill his neder. He made a neder. Im yeh lekimi madi, if he'll give me a lechem, clothing and food, then this mokayim will be a base elokim. V'chol asher titein li aser asrenu loch. Yaakov Avinu did not yet do this. He did not yet fulfill his vow. He did not yet make this mokayim into a base elokim. Therefore, he was punished, and this whole event happened with Dina. That's how some of the commentators learned that he was lax in fulfilling the vow he made to Hashem. So here Hashem says, go to Beisel. Didn't you make a promise that you would make that Mokom into a Beisel Ukim if I would be good to you and I would provide your sustenance, clothing, food, shelter? I've done mine, Hashem said to Yaakov. You have not done yours. V'shev shamaseh sham mizbeach lokel hanirei lecha b'vorach v'nezach v'yom Yaakov v'beiso. So they all go. Now, and then he says, where are we going? V'nakuma v'nale Beisel. We're going to Beisel. I'm going to make the mizbeach. Now, does Rashi see anything over here on this? No, Rashi is silent. Where is this location? Okay, they come there. He rides v'yevo Yaakov luza. And now he arrives in Luz. Okay, now here there is a Rashi of Beisel. Okay, let's go over. Vayavo Yaakov Luz. He comes to Luz. Asher Yeretz Kanan. He Beisel. Luz is Beisel. Who v'chol am Asher Imo v'yivin Yeshom Mizbech v'yikro la'mokoyim. And he calls the Mokoyim Kel Beisel. Ki sham niglu elav hu elokim b'vor choy mibnei ochiv. Okay, then what happens? Now this is really bizarre. Okay? Devoira, according to Rashi Lishitasai, Rashi holds that Beis El is Yerushalayim, Beis El is Har HaMoriah, Beis El is Luz. It's all the same. It's all the same, the Makom HaMikdash. It says that Devoira, the Menekes Rivka, Devoira died. She came to greet Yaakov. She came there to send a message to Yaakov Avinu that he can come home. Vatikover mitachas leveisel tachas hu'aloyim. She was buried beneath Beisel, tachas hu'aloyim, vayigrosh shemo aloyim bochus. And now Beisel gets another name. Add that to your collection. Okay? Chidona Tanach. Okay, to your collection. What is another name for Beisel? Called aloyim bochus. And who's buried there? Who's buried in Beisel? Devorah. You allowed to bury someone in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim? It's forbidden, categorically forbidden to bury anyone in the holy city. Not let it be Metame, the holy city, Yerushalayim. So what's going on over here? Rashi?
So is anyone saying there are two Beisels?
Obviously, the Radak holds there are at least two Beisels. Obviously.
Even Rashi does, because he says that when in the by Avraham, the base, the main base
elevator,
is a different base.
Oh, base. Let's see.
That's the Musaf Rashi. I just went to look.
From where? Where is he quoting from? From where?
In Vayetze.
He's quoting there from a different from.
The part that says Musaf Rashi that.
But anyway, what's the source? When they say Musaf Rashi, they say a source. From where does he say? Where is he drawing it from?
Elo lo ke Avraham shekaru har ksiv bahar Hashem.
From the Gemara Masechta Chulin. They have a very nice thing. Some of these they go with the computers. They take every single pasuk and they find wherever Rashi ever commented on this pasuk anywhere in all of Rashi's writings. Moisef Rashi, they add more Rashis, but from a different context. Okay. Anything over here, first in this pasuk, who Beisel, Rashi will be in this over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beisel, Gilu Shechinosai Beisel. Yesh, it says over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu El Beisel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beisel, Gilu Shechinosai Beisel, Hashem revealed himself. Okay, Yesh Tevos Chasra Beis HaMeshameshes Beroish, okay, Beisel, okay, further. He's not niglu elavu elokim. V'mekoymos harba yesh shem elokus v'admos b'loshen rabim. Okay, that's a different point. He's not coming at all next to the Thomas Devoro. Next, mitachas lebeisel ho'ir yoshaves behar v'nikrava v'nikbira beraglehar. Okay, so here he's at least coming to lighten the question that according to Rashi, Rashi learns that Beisel is Yerushalayim. She was not buried on the top of the mountain. I guess not clear. But on the Raglei Hahar, Tachas Hu'aloyin, Bishipulei Meshua, the lower part of the plain, Shahoyim Meshua, Milamala, Bishipulei Hahar, V'hakivura, Milamata. U'Meshua, Bishal Beisel, Hoyu, Koriloi, Aloyin. Okay, then he goes to the Agoda, about Rivka. Okay, so therefore we have over here, Rashi doesn't say very much, but we have over here another base L. And this base L, seemingly according to Rashi and Lishitasai, would be Yerushalayim. Okay, now let's go to the third base L. Another base L. So base L is in Av Lech Lecha. In the beginning of Lech Lecha, Vayem Hashem Lech Lecha, to travel, Avraham travels from Bavel, Iraq. He travels from the eastern portion of modern-day Iraq, Aram Naharaim. It's on Mamish, the border with Iran. It's the border of Iran, Aram Naharaim, if I'm not mistaken. And he travels. Vayatek Misham, here we go. He Vayere Elov, Hashem Elav Ram, Vayim Elov, Zaruch Etenes Haaretz Hazois. Hashem, he travels. Let me go a step back. The first time our forefather laid his eyes on the Holy Land. Vayavor Avram Ba'aretz. We're ad mikoim shechem. Ad Eloin Moire. V'yakanani oz Ba'aretz. He comes to the place called Elon Moreh. And what does Rashi say over here? Elon Moreh, he Shechem. It's another word for Shechem. Okay, so Shechem is not Beisel, and Shechem is not Yerushalayim. That we know for sure. Next, Vayero Hashem El Avram, Vayoyim El Zaracha Etein Esa Aretz Hazos. Vayiven Shema Mizbeach La Shema Nirei Lav. Fine. Further. Travel more. Vayatek Misham. He's now in Shechem. He picks himself up. Hahara. He travels Misham from there, Hahara, to the mountain, to Hahara, like a Hehayidia, a special mountain. Mikedem Levesel, on the east side of Basel. Ooh, a Basel. For the first time in the Torah, we learn about a Basel. This is really the first time. Vayet Oholo, and he pitches her tent. He pitches a tent for Sarah. Basel Miyom. On one side, on the west, is Basel. V'ho'ai mikedem, and I is on the east. Vayiven shom mizbech la'Hashem vayikra b'shem Hashem. Rashi, what is this Basel? Pasuches, vayatek misham oholo, his tent, mikedem le'Basel, b'mizrocha shel Basel. Nimseis Basel b'maravoy, hu shenemar Basel miyom. Oh, hello. Then he goes on. So he learned over here, he builds a Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach is not in Basel. It doesn't say he built the Mizbeach in Basel. It says he built the Mizbeach in, I think more than Ai. Vayatek misham ahara mikedem lebeisel. Vayet oholoi. Basel was miyom on the west. V'ho'ai mikedem on the east. Vayiven sham Mizbeach lahashem. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Where did he build the Mizbeach? Rashi, vayiven sham Mizbeach nisnabe shasidin bonav likoshel sham al avoin ochon vispalo sham aleihem. According to Rashi, it appears, he built the Mizbeach in Ai. Okay, vayisavram holech v'nosu haneg. Okay, so here we have over here Basel. We have over here, really, this the first time we come across Basel. According to Rashi, this Basel is going to be the same place as the Basel that Avraham Avinu is going to encounter later on. Now, is there another Basel? Is that it? Are these the three? Someone mentioned Lot?
Yeah,
because
it says Esau,
Lot, Mikedem LeBasel, Vayeta Lot.
That was Lot.
Thinking of when you say Lot, that's the person that comes to mind.
Yeah. Well, how do you know it's not the same?
When he croaked, when he
I
says,
don't know.
When he asked,
why?
Where are you going?
Could be the same one.
Okay, yeah, so let's
like
see then.
Springfield in the United States.
You're 24.
Ask Abraham Lincoln. Ask Abraham Lincoln.
Page 24. That's a different chumash. It's Lot, the story of Lot. Let's go to the story of Lot. Okay, let's take a look. Okay, 1 second. Vayhire bein roye migne Avram bein roye migne loit. Vaknani vaprizes of Osbaretz. Vayisa loit es ena vayaris kol kikar hayardin tichul mashal vayar shachas Hashem estoyim. Vayivchar loit eis kol kikar hayardin. Vayisa loit miken vayipardu ish mi alochiv Avram yoshabi eretz kinoan. Viloit yoshabi ori hakikar vayel at sidoim. Doesn't say lo base over here. All right, okay, fine. Okay, but we have over here, at least it's Kedai, in the back of this book, let me take a look in the back of the Sefer, they show you the different cities. They show you a different base, so that's right. They show you here like the Radak. Okay? They show you they show you that there's definitely another base. If you look on page 913, 913 is an excellent picture. It shows you the red line. What's the red line? I don't know how in the world they knew this red line, how they were able to make what source they have for this red line. This was the boundary between the Malchus of Yisrael and the Malchus of Yehuda. Everything below the red line is the Malchus of Yehuda. Everything above the red line was the Malchus of Yisrael. And in fact, there were guards, sentries. There was a wall. I cannot believe he gave up, Trump. cannot believe. It just doesn't, unbelievable. Devarim sugar, no? Something must have happened behind the scenes. Okay, but look, we have here a wall. We have here a wall between the north and the south. What did I say, right? Okay, I'm sorry. We have here the north and the south. The north and the south is a red line. There's a wall between the two. Okay,
there was, at least they didn't have a green line.
It wasn't a green wall. Okay. There was a wall between the north and there was a separation between the two. And obviously, whatever is in the north is the Malchus of Yisrael. And in this picture, on page 913, look at that red dot. There's a place called Basel. And Basel is not Yerushalayim. So according to Rashi, how would Rashi explain this? Rashi only seems to indicate there's one Basel. That's very problematic, obviously. I mean, yeah. But he, the Radak, very clearly is saying an incredible chiddush, incredible chiddush that changes everything. That when Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayetze built a mizbeach, had the dream, the story with the 12 stones turned into one, that refers to the base L above the red line. The base L in the Malchus of what would one day be the Malchus of Yisrael.
Right.
And it's because Yaakov Avinu said that Even Hazos Asher Samti Matseva Yihye base Elohim. It's because of those words that the Yeravam ben Nevat built, he put the Egel Hazav, he established the idol in this city.
Well, it makes sense. Because he wanted an alternative to Yerushalayim.
Right.
And according to that opinion that Yerushalayim is the original Beis El, then Beis El 2, you know...
He's saying he wasn't the original Beis El. It's exactly what he was saying. According to the Radak, it wasn't. According to the Radak, this was the site where Yaakov Avinu had the dream.
So it had some intrinsic condition yes. of its own. And
yes, exactly. That's why he felt he could build upon it.
More favored than the northern.
He was very clever. He told the people, he said, I'm telling you, this is a holy place, Yaakov Avinu. It was predicted. Yaakov Avinu said, so what more do you want? See, for us, it's very hard to understand how was he able to take all the people, 10 Shvatim, and convince them to make an Egel, and convince them to make a Beis HaMikdash in a new location. To us, it's so bizarre. But it wasn't so bizarre. His arguments were ironclad. He read the Pesukim. He was able to darshan and teach them. And I mean, it's compelling what he was telling them. He's telling us that Yaakov Avinu, if this is Basel, and Yaakov Avinu, it says in the Bible, Beferish, that Yaakov Avinu, he took the stone, then he poured oil, and he said, "Oh, Evan Azos Asher Samti Matziva, yeah, Beis Elohim." So this is it. This is the Beis Elohim. What do you need to go to Yerushalayim? The Egel, the Ramban, who says? The Ramban says there's no difference between the Kruvim and the Egel. There's absolutely no difference. They're exactly the same. The Torah says, make Kruvim. Gold images, and tzelem, and to put in the Kodesh HaKodashim. There is absolutely no difference between the Kruvim that rest upon the Oroin and the Egel Hazav that was made by the Erev Rav in the Midbar, after Matan Torah. What's then the difference? The difference is, Hashem said to make the Kruvim, and Hashem never told you to make the Egel Hazav. But in Lomdus, you want to take out a good Daf Gemara and be a Lamdan and Darshan? Give you 100 to Darshan, Sukkim and Darshan and tell you why the Egel is Mutter? You can prove 100 times over that the Egel Hazav was permitted, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mitzvah to make on top of the Oroin to make Kruvim. So why then were they chayiv misa? Why then ad hayoyim hazeh do we suffer v'yom pakti pokadati? It's because Hashem told you to make the kruvim, and Hashem did not tell you to make the egel hazav. If not for Hashem telling you, you're right. You'll be able to go and finagle and to darshan and twist and turn all you want. In order to be a member of the Sanhedrin, Chazal said they would test you. They would demand from a student, prove to me, give me 49 reasons why it's mutter a sheretz is tar. Prove to me with logic, a sheretz is tar. And you have to, a Talmud has to be able to prove why it's mutter. So why then is a sheretz tamei? Because the Torah said it's tamei. That's why it's tamei. Okay, so you can say whatever you want. You can play, you can manipulate information any way you want. If you're smart enough, what? You can manipulate anything you want. You can manipulate everything that you want. I was driving lately a lot, and I was listening to different lectures, different shiurim, and I was listening to a lecture about Christianity. Fascinating lecture. I don't even know who it was, someone from YU, someone from Yeshiva University, one of the professors, and he was talking about how did these mishumadim were they so powerful, and basically they were able to darshan. They were very good darshanim. They were able to darshan the psukim with these most brilliant insights to manipulate, convince people. I'm telling you, this is what it says in the Torah. And they were able to lead astray many great, brilliant people.
Thank you.
And it's all a matter of...
They attracted mostly pagans, people of Eretz Yisrael, right?
There were plenty. Talmidei Chacham also got swept up. Yeah, plenty. It's, of course, plenty Talmidei Chacham. They swept up in their manipulation. It was all a matter of expounding Tanakh. Today, if you trained... It's very easy to go and to see right through them. Also, you have to say something. He says something very, very, very interesting. Because when you read a pasuk, you can't go tell an apikoires. It says in the Rambam what the pshat in the pasuk is. In their eyes, the Rambam is a misguided rabbi, just like everyone else. They only debated actual psukim. They only dealt with the pasuk itself. And you can't tell them, no, but Rashi says the pshat in the pasuk is like this. You're talking to a wall. They didn't acknowledge there's a Rashi. They don't acknowledge a Rambam. They don't acknowledge a Ramban. They look at the pasuk in their translation, and they build upon that, and they draw from other psukim to build an entire case. The only way the Talmidei Chacham were able to succeed in showing the Sheker, first of all, it all at the end of the day comes down to Emunah. Okay, that's really the MS. It all comes down to Emunah, to understand what the MS is. Emunah, the Mesorah from Torah Shebal Peh. But even besides that, the Talmidei Chacham were able to show them the flaw of the way they would interpret the pasuk, even on their literal understanding, by drawing from other psukim in Tanakh. That's a very great art, because that we don't do today. Today we don't even play like that. Today we have a Messiah, and that's the end. Either you're a believer or you're a non-believer. But there are people that are so skilled, they who don't want to hear Torah Shebal Peh, they want to just analyze the psukim and start darshaning in their corrupt way. There are people who are able to show, even according to your approach, your logic, your translation, your understanding, you're fundamentally wrong.
And that's how a number of chazals dealing with questions like this.
We find in the Gemara very often. The Gemara does not tell us the real answer.
Right.
Very, very often.
They don't give the real answer. They say, well,
exactly. You find that technique is very, very often used in the Gemara, where there's a question asked and we have a Messiah. We know what the answer is. And yet we find Tanoim giving other answers, these logical answers. Why? Because they're not willing to hear a Messiah. They argue on their terms. Even on your terms, you're making a mistake. Okay, any event, this is something very, very special, Radak, we've learned. And he's coming over here to tell us the secret. Why did Yeravam ben Nevat establish his Beis Hamikdash, his temple in Basel? It's because he learned, he believed, and the Radak holds to be correct, that the Basel, that city Basel, was the location where Yaakov Avinu had the dream of the ladder. It was the location where he dreamt, where the 12 stones turned into one. It was the location where he made a neder, the neder that he will make this makam, For Evan Hazoi Sasher Samti Matsevoye Beis Elohim. And this obviously was a very critical factor in the success in Yerov ben Nevat in persuading the Aseres HaShvatim to worship the eagle in this location. And this is not like Rashi. Rashi in Chumash Vayetze, in Bereshis, in Parash Vayetze, clearly disagrees. Yeah, Rashi clearly says that Beis El is Har HaMoiria. There's nothing to discuss. That's the other side of the line. That's in Yerushalayim. And therefore, it has then to be according to Rashi, there was another Beis El, like you see in the picture in the back of the Sefer. So if that's the case, so what then was the koyach of Yeravim? How then did Yeravim convince the people to go and worship the eagle in what was special about this Beis El? Nothing. Nothing was special about it. Yet he succeeded. Okay, so he succeeded. But according to the Radak, we get a much, much deeper, richer flavor in why he was successful. He's drawing from the biblical psukim. Okay, it's very, very worthy to remember and to focus on this Radak. He actually cites these psukim, and we come out with a very different perush of the from the most fundamental psukim in Chumash. Okay, next words of the Radak, ve'chol sham lechem. Over here, the Radak says that Amatzia was making leitzonos of omos. He says, you want a piece of bread? Go to Yehuda, go to Yerushalayim and preach. There the people will support you. They'll be receptive to hear your words of Musar. The Radak says, you get one of three things. Either you get a piece of bread, a cup of wine, or a cup of beer. What would you like? From the three things, what would you like? That's what you're going to reward. You get for words of prophecy. Omar loy sheyasa hu kain v'sheyelech v'yinabe be'eretz Yehuda kishama yachiluhu lechem im yinabe roas malche Yisrael. They love to hear you put down other people. They'll put us down. They'll be very happy to hear your words. They'll give you some food. Okay, next pasuk. Yud Gimel. Let's read the pasuk. Okay, we already read the pasuk. Beis El is Mevorahu that we already discussed. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Okay, let's read the pasuk inside. Vayan Yamos Vayemer La Amatzia. Loi Navi Anochi. I'm not a Navi. Loi Ben Navi Anochi. I'm not a son of a Navi. Ki Vayker Anochi. Voiles Shiknim. I am a Vayker. I graze cattle, and we learned this. Spend time on this in Rashi, in the Mitzudos and Rashi. I'm a Boileis. Neither so far we learned it means one or two things. I mix feed. Boileis means to mix. I take a fodder and I produce a feed for my cattle. Or, we learn according to the Rashi, I am diversified. My portfolio is diversified. I have investments in livestock, and I have investments in construction industry. And the Voleis means, Rashi, that Omois was a kevat peh. Omois, he was a Navi, a preacher, and yet he couldn't get the words out of his mouth. Tongue twister. He couldn't get the words out of his mouth. He had a speech impediment.
I repeated this Friday night for the benefit of my granddaughter who's studying speech therapy.
He had a speech impediment, almost. And
was he a Levi?
Was he? I don't know. I don't think it was Shevet Osher, it says. So he was not a Levi. Uvoileis. And that's why Rashi says that it really should be Uvoileim. Uvoileim Shikmim. And the word Rashi says, Uvoileim, meant he searches. Okay, the word really should be. With a shin. Uvoileish means to search. I search for a good investments in the construction industry. Good wood, the wood shikmim. He learns as sycamore trees, not fig trees. According to the Mitzudas, the word shikmim was fig trees, which was food. Food for the animals, for the bokar. Okay, so that's what we learned so far. Oh, here, let's see the Radaka. The Radaka, Pasik, back on the page, Yud 251, Pasik, Yudal, Vayan, Omois, Lenov, Yonochi. So first we learn over here this other expression, which everyone is struggling. I am not a prophet. What do you mean you're not a prophet? You're part of the Triasa. So what do we learn so far? It means I'm not in the business. I say prophecy, but I don't do it for Parnasa. That's one interpretation. And the other interpretation was, I have no formal training. I am a prophet, but I'm not like the other prophets who have degrees, who went to school for prophecy and were trained to be prophets. I have no formal degrees. That's all he means. But of course, it does not mean that he's not a prophet, because he is a prophet. The Radak says, Lo'inavi anochi lo'hisi navi minurai. Another pshat. V'gam lo'inavi anochi shelimdani darki hanavuah. Similar idea to what it says in the Mitzudos. I have not been trained. I have not been formally trained to be a Navi, and therefore don't think I'm doing it here for money. I'm preaching to make a few bucks. Pasuk, next page 353. This is not my parnasa. Ki voiker hayisi, I raise cattle. Hoylech achare bikori vitzani kemosh amar asher hoya banoigdim mitakoya. The first pasuk in Amos. He was vanoigdim. He was among the people who dealt with animals. The word noigdim is nakod vitalu. The spot and the speckle, Yaakov Avinu, he dealt with his cattle. And his cattle was spotted and speckled, because that was the deal he made with Lavan. I'll take the spotted and speckled, and you'll take the animals that are clean. In other words, it was viewed to be a deficiency. I'll take grade B as my schar. And I guess because of Yaakov Avinu, he called his cattle noiked, it became a term. It was added to the dictionary. The word noikeid means another word for cattle. Yaakov Avinu, he slept, that's why. So therefore, the Osher Anochi, he writes, I'm a wealthy man, I'm independently wealthy. I don't need your money. Boileis, yesh mefarshim kamoi, boileish with a shin. Mitargum, it's the Aramaic translation of the word vayechapes, to search. Uvelash, kiloimer loikeit. It means to search, or he's saying it means to collect shikmim lemachal bikorav. Now here, look what the Radak is. The Radak of here is combining. He is combining the perush of Rashi and the Mitzudos. According to the Mitzudos, who said the word boileim, according to the Mefarish that said the word boileis should mean be read boileish, not with a samach but with a shin, a speech impediment. What was he searching for? He was searching for commodities, searching for shikmim, sycamore trees, lumber, to look for good investments in the construction industry. According to the other mafarish that says that the word boileish should be read the way it is, with a samach, and it means to mix. So he says shikmim then does not mean sycamore trees, it means fig trees, a variety of a fig tree. It's a different type of tree entirely, which is edible. Radak is combining the two together. Radak is saying the word voileis should really be voileish with a shin. And shikmim, he's taking from the other mafarish, should be figs. I'm searching for good food for my cattle. My cattle need good quality feed. If you have good quality feed, they'll grow to be good, strong animals. And therefore, I'm searching the entire day to find good fig, a variety of the fig tree to feed my cattle, so they grow to be good gesunde cattle that you can I can make a profit. So he's combining these two together. You know, tell you that
mutually exclusive, because if we're talking about a fruit tree, you can't cut it down and use it for lumber. Is that correct?
Correct. And you're saying very good. Exactly. You cannot exact baltashkes. It is ki odam eitz asoda, right? It's forbidden, right? So exactly, you're not allowed to cut it down for less. The truth is, it's not so simple. If you can make more money from selling and using the wood than its fruit, then you are technically permitted to do so. So there are many exceptions to cutting down fruit trees, unless you want to go into the world of Kabbalah, Rabbi Huda HaChosid. Okay, that we're learning Sefer Chassidim, but this is the tzavah. This is not part of the halachas. But in Echnambi, there, a fruit tree should never be cut down, even if you can make there, even if the fruit is not valuable to you. You could use the wood for other purposes, v'chulu. But technically speaking, according to the letter of the halacha, if you can get more out of the wood than out of the fruit, you are permitted to cut down a fruit tree. Okay, anyway, we have two perushim. What is the word boileis? And what is the word shikmim? Does it mean to mix? Does it mean to search? Does it mean a sycamore, which is a wood? It's an ilan sorok, a fruit that does not produce fruit. Or does it mean a fig variety, which is a fruit? Everything depends on, you know, he's looking for good quality feed. You know, empire, they pride themselves, they feed the birds. When you eat poultry, you eat a piece of chicken, you should know a lot of effort, a lot of chachma went into what they fed that bird before in order that it should develop. The bird feed for in Purdue, the non-kosher birds, is very different than the feed they serve the animals in Empire. It's much more expensive. That's why you pay double the price for the bird for an Empire bird than you pay for a Purdue bird, because part of the cost, which they just add more and more, is the bird feed. What kind of feed? First of all, what's the one of the main things? They serve it types of food which causes it to grow a thick skin. That's one of the main things. Why do you want a thick skin? Because you cannot market a bird that has feathers. Did you ever go into a chicken market, but any grocery store they sell? Did you ever see a bird that has feathers? You never saw a bird with feathers. Doesn't go. So how do you get rid of the feathers? So what they do in the industry, if it's not kosher, is they burn it. They put it through fire. They put it through fire and it singes. It's the cheapest thing to do. It's the most effective thing to do. So they used to do that at Empire. Years ago, they used to do the same technique. They put all the birds through fire. It goes to the mama for 1 second. It goes 1 second and it singes it off. What's the problem? Some Talmidei Chachamim are of the opinion that even a small amount of, if it's there too long, then halacha, if then the blood, then the melicha is no longer effective. Once in Shulchan Aruch, if you partially roast meat, then you're stuck in the middle, because then the blood, if it's not a complete roasting, then you don't get all the blood out, and it's too late then to salt it. So if you're going to roast it, you're going to put it through fire, you're doing a roasting that's incomplete, and then the salting will be ineffective to completely remove the dam, and the bird is trafe. The bird's not a kosher bird. So therefore, people complain that they're not happy with this technique, that they would singe the feathers off the bird by putting it through fire, because then the smelicha is not effective, and then you're eating dam. So what do? They have what's called, they have rubber fingers, the rubber finger machine. It makes so much noise you can go deaf. High speed. They have rubber fingers, and they basically beats up the bird. The dead bird goes in, and these rubber fingers hit, and by the rubber fingers it just pulls all the feathers right off. Okay, it's a lot of electricity to run these big machines. It makes deafening, really, moms. You have to wear special ear protection because it's so loud, these machines.
Chicken is dead then.
Of course, yeah. After Shkita, of course it's dead. Now, what's the problem with the rubber fingers? What? No, how would also be no good? How would it do? What would it do to remove the feathers?
I remember that.
Then the fingers?
Yeah.
Oh, that's no good. No, that's not kosher. You put in hot water, you can't. You're done. You can't do melicha.
Coagulates the blood and doesn't let it.
Right, they don't do that. Anything hot, they're not going to allow. So they go through a rubber finger. The problem was, what was the problem with the rubber fingers machine? It's so good, the rubber finger. Not only does it rip off the feathers, it rips off the skin. So when the bird comes out of the machine, there are no feathers and there's no skin. Now, by the way, that would be a very big advantage. There's no need to have skin. The skin is very unhealthy.
Tastes delicious.
It would be very good not to have skin on any, and not to ever have it. But however, the customer wants skin. Why? I don't know. That's the way the world is.
In a presentation at a fancy place, I could tell you that when Ali had an abundance of, you know, turkey, chicken, whatever it is, and they would ship it a few times, that they shipped it to the Concord Hotel, they sent, even to the Neville, they sent it back because the skin was torn. And it lacked presentation at the table when they would give out a half a chicken.
With the skin, right? The customer wants to see the skin, even though the skin is unhealthy and there's no nutritional value. the customer, you have to satisfy your customers.
They opened up the crates and they said, what is this? Take it back.
So what are you going to do now? The rubber fingers, so therefore they feed it special food, which causes the chickens to grow a thick skin that will not come off with the rubber fingers. And you pay for that. The customer, the Jewish customer, the Orthodox customer pays for the expense of the feed, which causes the skin to be thick enough that the rubber fingers won't pull it off. Okay, that's all part of the expense. And the other things that shouldn't be a treifa. There are certain things that they can do. Purdue, they don't care about treifas. The bird, they only feed it for how many weeks? For 5 weeks. After 5 weeks, a chick doesn't grow anymore. It's a waste of money to spend a week on maintaining a chick after 5 weeks. Just a waste of money. You're wasting your money. You're keeping them in a home, and you're feeding them, and they
try to kill them as soon as possible.
As soon as they mature, but every second counts.
Whenever you have, in other words, you have
scheduling. Right, scheduling.
Small chicken, right. So you want more chicken, but then they charge you a nickel a pound more when you buy a small chicken.
Yeah.
Because you're getting less. If I'm going to sell you a chicken that's 2.5 pounds,
yeah,
so I'm not getting as much money
because they could have
chicken that I invested my money in to get back a 3 pound chicken.
So they charge you for that.
So
that
they
loss.
Charge you for getting one.
Very interesting.
Smaller.
In Purdue, they told us in Empire that at Purdue they only feed the chickens between 5 and 6 weeks because after 5 weeks. There's nothing more to do.
Right,
it's a waste of money. It's a waste of money. However, they've discovered you take an Empire chicken that they produce in their factory and you shecht it after 5-6 weeks, in between 5-6 weeks, there are many of them are treifas. When they do the bedikos, they run down, they find a lot of health issues. And if they feed them for one more week, and they slaughter their bird between 6 and 7 weeks, many of the shalos of Hilchos Treifos go away. All of the organs are working fine, and they have much, much less questions of kashrus of lungs and the heart. Even they don't really check the lungs in America. The lungs and the heart and the chickens. So because they wanted to be a kosher bird without any shaila of being a treifa, there shouldn't be any shalos of all the different organs. They feed an Empire chicken for a week more than the equivalent bird is fed in America, in the whole world, in industry. A kosher bird is fed between 6 and 7 weeks. A bird that's a kosher bird, if we're saying bird, that does not have a shechita, is fed between 5 and 6 weeks. And the feed is different. The feed is also, they enhance the feed that it should be, the bird should be a gezunta bird. It should not be a question of hilchos, any shayla and hilchos treifas. So feed is very, very, obviously, feed is very important. It's critical. What? Does it taste better? You gotta get everyone al tam v'reach, ein l'hispakeach. That you gotta go ask. Everyone is different.
Literally like a tough old bird. That's what the expression.
So feed obviously makes a very big difference. And over here you see that Amos was way ahead of his time. 3,000 years ahead of his time, he says, according to the Radak, I'm a voiker anoichi. And the quality of the meat depends on the feed. If you feed it good, it tastes good. It's valuable. Uvoileis shikmim. According to Radak, don't uvoileis, uvoileish. Uvoileish means I search. I search the whole day for shikmim. He is learning there is a certain variety of figs, which is a very healthy feed, which will allow my animals to grow and develop. It should taste good. Right? The most expensive meat today, what do they feed it? Beer. Drunk. The animals are drunk. They mamish, they stuff it with, they feed these crazy things, they feed it, and the meat is supposed to be so exotic, they charge an outrageous amount of money a pound, like $100 a pound. Crazy, crazy, crazy meat. You hear about this? Well, they feed it beer, they feed it beer for crazy things.
The difference is, that's why the meat from South America is smaller,
cheap.
Because the feed is different.
It's a cheaper animal. The South American meat is not a quality meat. We eat it. People don't even know what they're eating. They don't even know where it's coming from. It's
afford the feed. feed that middle America.
The American stuff is very good, high quality. It's expensive. It's very expensive, the American stuff.
But they don't say it's more healthy. They like to say grass-fed, you know.
Yeah, grass-fed versus GMO feed. If you use GMO feed.
One thing, you go to a Simcha wedding, you're not getting quality stuff. Ruba de ruba, unless they're paying, go to a wedding.
The caterers only use the American beef.
Expensive stuff?
Yeah, because you could tell right away. I don't mean that, not to say an expert, but if you're in the industry, you could smell instantly the South American beef from 10 feet away when it's coming to the table.
Uh-huh. Okay, there's so much chachma going on in this industry, you can't even imagine. What goes on? You know all the secrets.
I had it already. I said one time to the guy, this is South American beef. You can't do that. With a restaurant, he was coming to me with it. I said to my wife, this is from South America. She said, how do you... I said, I could smell it. The difference in the smell of the cooked meat, it had a different smell. So I said, Uruguay. I said, this is from Uruguay. So he said, no, it's not from Uruguay. It's from South America. I laughed and he said, oh, Uruguay's in South America. I said, yes. That's it.
Okay.
And you could tell there's a different color. There's a yellowish tinge. There's easy. I mean, if you look at it day in and day out, you see differences.
Not only me, you could tell. Other things, all
people up there from casinos.
The big problem, though, in terms of hashgacha with eating, is in the tongue of an animal, because the part of the animal that's branded is the tongue. So the kehilla they said, because when you brand the tongue, you cooked it a little bit.
Right.
And they wanted us to
kasher the brand
wool and just scrape it off the
kadeh kalipa, kadeh netila.
A little bit,
kadeh netila. Or just, why can't they just cash out the brand?
It said just they couldn't.
What could the brand be?
Nobody else complained about it, except for the Gilakashvists. They're
really?
The most, they are the most...
Machmir, even the brand?
More than all the others.
What could possibly be in the brand?
They said it was cooked, you know, you branded the heat, it froze the blood.
But what could they possibly use it for? Blood. Uh-huh.
It's a lot of blood. Right.
Okay. Okay, let's finish up. I'm going to stop. Let's finish up. This boy lace. Let's read. I'm reading the Dibur Masel on the Radak, page 353. Boy lace. Yesh mefarshim k'moy boy lace b'shin mitagum vayichapes. The tagum vayichapes boy lace uvolash kolaymar loykate. Because what does it mean over here? The tagum is uvolash. The tagum for vayichapes to search is uvolash. And what does it mean then in the context of this pasuk? Kolaymar loykate shikmim lemachol bikorov. I am seeking figs for my cattle. Oy perushoy me'arev, it means to mix. Hashikmim, it means to mix. The other perush we learned before. And then you're not going to change the gear, so by lace with a samach. Im devarim achadim kolotzech b'kodav, v'divay arvasir zal davar me'arev, yikorei balus. Then it's a rabbinic term. Okay, so it's not going to be Hebrew. It's either going to be Aramaic, or it's going to be a rabbinic term. Balus. Kamosh Amar, you have a Gemara, Misach Shabbos. What is the Gemara? The Gemara is also really Aramaic, but it's, I don't know, whatever it is, a different term. Shekin Ani, Oichel Pitoi, Mi'isa Bilu So. Okay, and even the Chazal is a sin, not a Samach, and somehow the sin and the Samach, that we can interchange. Not a shin. A shin and a samach you can't change, but a sin you can change. Perish and nidloy shah, hakemach, vahasubin, vahamursan, all the flour, all the different types of flour, biyach, lifalif, vitsaf, vahasubin, vahamursan, imakemach, lishiur, chala. That's a sugya there in the Gemara. Something in the Gemara says that everything combines together. You can combine the bran, the chaff, all the different parts of the grain. If you choose to make your dough from all the different parts, all of it combines to the minimum shear 43. What's the shear? How many eggs you need for challah? 43, almost 44 eggs. The shikmim hu min mimine hata'enim. According to this interpretation, shikmim, it's not the sycamore tree that we are familiar with, which is an ilan starak that does not produce fruit, but this is a fig tree, which is the feed for the animals. The yoina samtir game, are more geise anog. Geise means cattle. I am a master of cattle. V'shikmim li b'shafelta. It seems that he learns the other pshat, that the shik means sycamore. He's not learning like what the Radak said. I am diversified. I have ownership of sycamore trees in the lowlands. And before the choyvei amei, he's adding a very critical expression over here, the Targum, that no one said. I'm willing to suffer for the sins of my people. That's a very, you know, that's one of those, the Christians are into that pasuk, that pasuk. So we hear all the Nevi'im were like that. Okay, they really, the Ganav, they're such corruption, all how they manipulate Tanakh, everything, they take holy swords, but over here it's a really, 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 very, very important Targum. One more, look at these words. Umin kodom before, choyvei ami, the sins. Because of the sins of my people, ano I, misagef, I allow myself to be tortured. Misagef means to absorb pain. Nafshi, you're telling me to get out of this country because you're going to kill me? You're going to harm me? That's what I'm here for. I'm here to give Musar. The people over here are guilty of sin. The Choyvei Ami, I'm here to deal with the sins of the Malchus of Yisrael. The Choyvei Ami, I'm here to present to them what they've done wrong. Even if it means I will be harassed. Even if it means I have to absorb pain and suffering to get the message across to the people that they should do teshuva. Okay, interesting. He's not saying here, I'm suffering for the people. That's not what the suffering is. See, the Christians, they have this concept is that their God suffers and we also have that principle, I think, also. We also have that principle, but that's not what it's saying over here. He's saying over here is, you're harassing me. You're telling me that you're going to kill me. Yirmiyahu was tortured. They threw him into the dungeon. They plucked out his beard. You're torturing me. I'm willing to accept the pain in order to have an opportunity to get my message across. This is not this idea that a person, Rachmano Litzlon, he suffers Yisurim, and his suffering is a kapara for Klal Yisrael. That's a very, very mystical concept. Okay, I don't think we are really, in our generation, we really understand what that's all about. What does that mean? You can say these are words. Person suffers, his suffering is a kapara for Klal. I mean, who could say, who could talk like that? We're not on this level, we make believe we understand what this means. Yeah, a lot of things says in the Gemara. It says a lot of things in the Gemara. We don't understand what all of the... What does it mean? A person, the Rachmana Litzon, suffers. So his suffering, you say, is a kapara for Klal Yisrael? I hear the words. I hear that. I hear the idea. What does it mean? But still in all, stop and think. Do we really appreciate what that means? It's a very mystical concept. Okay, we have emuna. Ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. It means what it means. But it's something which... Or, don't go there. What?
When a tzaddik dies, it brings kapara to the world.
So what does that mean? Misa sadikim. Misa sadikim brings kapara to Klal Yisrael.
I think it says that by Miriam. But it doesn't mean what they say. They go to the extraordinary extreme.
But what does it mean? Whatever it means. But here, I don't think that's what the Targum means here. I think of Targum just very practical. Very practical. I have to tell the people to do tshuva. If it means that they're going to beat me up, so let them beat me up. It's okay. You can beat me up as long as I get my message across. That's all it means over here, l'chayra, according to the Targum. Very, very straightforward. Okay, we're going to stop here. Pasik tezayin. We'll move off tomorrow. We'll continue.
Today is the yahrzeit of the kotzka.
Who?
The kotzka.
The kotzka. The kotzka. The Lubavitcher of his wife?
Yeah.
Today is the yahrzeit?
Yeah.
Lubavitcher Rebbe said a day he doesn't have a tea with his wife, it's like not wearing tefillin. If he didn't, having tea with his wife every single day is like tefillin. Would you go there without wearing tefillin? He wouldn't go a day without having tea with his wife.
Then he became his own rabbi. He had to beat that.
I think you should become a rebbe.
What?
I think you should become a rebbe. I'll be a chassid. I'll come to Yitzhak.
You know the story? There was a rebbe walking in the one in Vienna, whatever, on Shabbos. And he was walking with his kabbalah, and he sees a phenom from the room he didn't recognize with his door.
That's my chassid.
So he says to him, the rebbe says to him, I see you have chassid. So this guy turns to the rebbe and says, no, ich bin bechassid.
Ich bin bechassid of the door. Dog's the rebbe.
Right, that means you have chassid in your dog.
So you also, the same thing. So you also, if you're the dog, and you're chassid, you're my chassid to the dog. Gave him a real shtech.
But he enjoyed it because it was a sharp answer. Trump came to England. I tell you this.